Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight. It's a Thursday. Your drive time show is here. And as always, we're here until the hour of six. And as always, we're here with yet another exciting topic that will keep, you know, that we're going to use to keep you company until the time that we hand over the platform to business and economic segment. And in studio this afternoon, as always, again, how many is always am I going to use? Is Helm and Dwight.
Yeah, Helmut. Mm. How many times are you going to say as always?
I have no idea. Look, I
the listeners expect us to be here.
I have limited English vocabulary, so as
always
is always.
The expectation is that we must be here.
You know, I was reading I read one interesting comment about the English language. There's one guy that sort of like points out just how complicated the English language is, and for those of us that are somewhat were exposed to the language as early as from childhood, we seem to sort of like our tongues have gotten used to make all the twists and turns that enables us to pronounce all a bunch of English languages, and thus the same goes with your native language. And someone pointed out in the videos was that someone asked how did we know this language, because he was the English language. Like, how did we learn the language? Because the two words that he used was drought and draft.
Oh, that's his basis from starting from drought and draft.
Drought and draft, and then you
and have... it's the two drafts. No, it's not one draft.
The thing is, they all have GH.
No. Two drafts.
You have GH and they have the one with FT.
Yeah,
the question is...
So there's someone out there right now listening to you and me, Hamoud, having this English lesson about drought, draft, and draft.
Yeah. So, and you have desert and you have...
Dessert. Now, double S, guess which one is that? The one that you eat.
Yeah, please don't walk in a restaurant and ask for a desert, because they don't have it. Now,
they won't give you sand.
We're in Namibia. If it's a coastal place, the waitress or the waiter will be like, just one.
Just ask, we'll go there to the beach.
We'll be with you shortly.
We'll be back now.
Now to the question of how did we end up even speaking this language the way that we do? Mm. Someone responded with a somewhat interesting response that, are you sure that these things are memorized and not learned? Just a constant repetition have gotten them sort of like stuck in our heads.
Actually, I can agree with the memorization and repetition discussion, because it is based upon exposure to literature. Obviously, I'm not a template for anyone else, but I can only speak of personal experience. Me and my siblings, we were taught on a balance of, since every age group, my mother bought books at every age range. Yeah. So obviously from 5 on, that's what I'm talking about, not lower than 5, you then try to teach the child, basic words. Because the child obviously has to learn from communication between adults and what the adults are saying to them and
around
them.
So it's about imitation and repetition and memorization?
Yeah, it's a factor of everything. It's for example, like an argument that I saw a little bit earlier. You remember the guy that I kept telling you, the guy that says... He grew up in poverty, but he became one of the world's best traders at Citibank in the UK. Gary Stevenson, that same guy.
Yeah.
Because Gary Stevenson says he studied economics. One of his mentors in his master's degree for economics was the other economist that I like, Ha-Joon Chang. And Ha-Joon was one of his lecturers at Oxford University. So... The thread that I'm showing everyone there is that Gary had to, what's the thing that he mentioned? Gary made reference to a specific thing in terms of, it's one of the arguments that were given by someone else that saw one of Gary's videos, and the guy said Gary is talking from a place of generating an optical illusion for his YouTube audiences. Now, I'm not going to talk about my particular preferences, biases in the arguments that were made. It's just something that someone says that this particular individual said without fully understanding the scope, the background, the context of the other person saying something. Hence, if you always try to understand where, for example, things like certain behaviors in an individual comes from, these are behaviors that were allowed or were nurtured in the household. Many people think that what you see in society is just a reflection of the society as a collective. Without going down into each person's particular traits, actions, interactions, and you try to interrogate, that's probably what that person was exposed to in their household as a kid growing up.
I think it's suspicious. I think we are visual learners.
We are visual learners.
From childhood, we start, you know, we start imitating words that are spoken by people around us. It's not like we reach an age where we start taking notes of our native language so we can study them later. With just the time of, with that time of exposure, being around people that are speaking the same language over and over again. So you grow up speaking that language.
And I mean, it has been proven that humans think in pictures, they don't think in words.
That explains.
So if you show up to someone and you show them a bag of mints, now you ask, and I ask you, Helmut, tell me all the names of this one item that you, in various languages that you know, then you will list them all.
But if I describe it for you, you'll be like,
and I had no image, and I had no image to show you. You would not be able to recall.
Well, that explains why all the, you know, all the books that we use from early childhood learning, like, you know, from kindergarten, they don't have a bunch of paragraphs.
They have pictures.
They have pictures.
So you need to, when you start from the smallest age group for learning how to read, they always start with big pictures, big words. Not big words as in, discombobulated. Yeah. No. No, the words are
literal words written with big letters.
Big letters in big font size, guys.
Discombobulated in kindergarten. Are you kidding me?
So it's a massive picture. Okay, not a massive picture like a wall, like a poster. It's a big picture on the page, and
like a picture to font size comparison.
Yes. So the picture is larger than the font size of the words. The text are like 3-4 words in a sentence.
That's it.
And that's how you flow from the lowest age group of reading, which should be from 5 or 4, and you flow upwards. And then every book that you bring, because they work in like threes. My sister explained it to me. My sister was a bookseller. She had a book business. And she explained that when it comes to writing, there's a deficiency that Namibia has. Namibia has so many deficiencies, Helmut, in terms of just writing for Namibian readers, the Namibian book market. Local Namibian readers or local Namibian writers, there's an undersupply, firstly, of writers. There's an undersupply of the various categories of books that we have to generate. And no one is going around and saying, listen, we can incentivize you guys for becoming an author. Just like the example you used yesterday. Remember? The other one off mic when we had that discussion. After I interviewed the other gentleman that was used in this morning's early morning scoop, Mr. Dennis Gounder, the stand-up comedian, the other stand-up comedian. And he mentioned the same thing there, that the government has to take a central role in incentivizing the creative industry. And you mentioned back like, that one of our off-mic discussions.
Thank God we don't have cameras.
Everyone decided to become an artist somewhere when there was suddenly an incentivization by the government to now start producing music and singing and all that, because people realize, oh my goodness, there's some sort of an incentivization.
I'm gonna go with,
So
born inside, I died outside.
So if you're a reader and you're trying to wonder how you have to formulate words, understand words, conceptualize them in your heads, it's from a young age, unfortunately. It's also one of the reasons some of the times where I've seen some of our colleagues here in the studio have you ever seen them debate upon the various Oshiwambo pronunciations of the same word.
Yep.
From France to Loise, everyone. I've seen so many debates on you know, in between just what one word means.
No, which, it's like this.
And it could be dialect. You could put it down to dialect.
Yeah.
I would actually put it down in terms of how each particular person
pronounced the word.
Was exposed to the pronunciation in their own right, in their own capacity. Because, for example, like when it comes to Afrikaans, there is, I can tell you today, Hamut, there is a everyday version of speaking it, and then there is formal standard Afrikaans. Formal standard Afrikaans. The same too with English. You find an everyday version of it, and you find a formal standard English.
Like a corporate profession type of
thing. It can range from corporate. It can range to, let's say, lawyers in a court setting. Yeah. It can range to what government officials and politicians have to do. You know, when they protocol observed such scenarios, or my lord, my lady in a court, or dear sir and madam. Those are the formal settings. So the setting is based upon the context in terms of how you approach the formality. The same thing in Afrikaans.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. During the Namco bail hearing yesterday, one of I think it was a defense lawyer was doing the Mr. Mulunga's defense lawyer that was doing the the examination in chief that had a slip of the tongue and ended up saying my guy. I'm not sure if it was my guy or this guy. So it was like, yeah, sorry, my lord. It's not supposed to say this guy.
I think the judge was like, huh? Say that again.
This guy. They're like, hey, ooh.
His client is sleeping.
Like, yo.
His client is sleeping in prison. I'm sorry. No, his client is not getting bail. I'm sorry.
I'll walk you through how, things ended today. Went a little salty. But,
Yeah, we've got to get back to our own salt works here of the SDG discussion. Yeah.
So SDG, and now it's a good thing we talked about this last year. So this is more of a continuation from where we left off last year, basically based on the same report.
Yeah.
And that is
okay. Not the 2024 version. Not guys. The 2024. This is a 2025 version.
Based on the same Sustainable Development Goals.
Yeah.
Yeah, I practice so that I don't keep mixing them with the National Development Plan.
Well, they actually form into each other, Helmut, because they have the same lingo. Lingo, if you don't know, dear listeners, it's not a variation of my surname. Lingo is just another informal term of saying language in English.
So, SDGs, Sustainable Development Goals, 17 in total coming out of the United Nations, which means all the UN member states, as long as you're a member state, you become you also become a signatory, or more like you become, you by default say yes to implementing all what is needed to be implemented in order to meet these goals before, by 2030.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have no poverty and zero hunger, and oh my God, when you look at these things and go like, you can't help but go, zero hunger. Mm.
And remember, factor in our report analysis of yesterday, the drought hotspots report.
Yeah.
It feeds into that discussion as well.
Financing for development.
Feeds into
Spain.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that took place like literally. This report was launched on 14 July last week.
Yeah.
Financing for development, sustainable development conference took place at the start of this month. Okay. It flowed from end of last month into the start of this month because it ended on the 3rd of July. So literally just a whole bunch of days just before the launch of this report.
Now, here's the challenging thing that was pointed out by members of the media that were present at the press conference that was held by the UN Secretary General. And one thing that you saw, one thing that you see there, last year the Secretary General himself described the reporting more like with regards to the progress of SDGs as it makes for what. Sobering reading. So, this year the report comes out with somewhat of a positive, very controversially positive news of, we are making somewhat of, a little bit of progress with about 35% of the SDGs making some, it's not ultimate progress, somewhat, average performance.
Mm.
Yeah. And there are those ones that are just, are slow, and there are those ones that are going in reverse.
Mm.
So when you look at and then obviously a bunch of things were said, but a lot of questions came out of the members of the media that makes one go, go back to what the Secretary General said and went like, just how true is this? But when it comes to progress now to where we are going, because one gentleman pointed out that the US is the biggest economy on the planet. Obviously the size of that economy has a lot of influence into how these goals are going to be achieved. Mm. And this administration the current administration in the US have been doing a lot of things that are, like it was pointed out again by one member of the media in this press conference, that what does this mean to the to the achievement of these goals?
Mm.
Yeah.
What does what mean? Where America is right now?
The current administration, and we saw this from the beginning of the year with the with the cutting of funding to
USAID.
To USAID.
Yeah.
Yeah, and among a lot of other international organizations that push the performance of goal, especially 1 and 2, hunger and poverty, especially hunger.
But now here's the further discussion. At the start of the report, the report explained that a whole bunch of countries were asked submit, it's like assessment reports of between last year and this year.
Yeah.
And in that specific scenario, they call it the 8 key messages in the executive summary. But it notes here that the global commitment to the SDGs seems strong. So that means it's politicians saying, yes, 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 we are committed to this thing. Yes, yes. It's a lot of talking. Man. Yes, 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 we are committed. And then it goes on to say, 190 out of the 193 have presented national action plans for advancing sustainable development. So between last year and up to now, there were changes in governance or governments across the world.
Year was election year.
Yeah, a lot of people were having elections, including the US, including the UK, including South Africa, which is on the cusp of being sanctioned, or let me rather say, ANC leadership is on the cusp of being sanctioned by the Americans. Oh, that bill that we spoke about 2 months back has been voted upon yesterday or the day before.
Which one?
That latest American senator bill from the Senator Jackson.
For sanctioning
South Africa.
Or more like ANC members.
But now it was revised to just targeting ANC members. And you are right. It's primarily based upon the
ICC Israel
Palestine court case.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to target just the political, actors in South Africa, meaning political parties, political leaderships.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have not seen the worst thinking in my life by an American politician. If you try to target the political cluster or elite of a country, do you know what they do? The first thing that political cluster does is realign them with other political clusters from the so-called enemies, because apparently Russia is an enemy still. China is an enemy still.
Basically, everyone competitive is an enemy.
Yeah, but the EU is today meeting Xi Jinping in Beijing. Ursula von der Leyen is in Xi Jinping with a delegation. They're about to sign a trade deal. Keir Starmer from the UK signed a trade deal with Narendra Modi. They're removing tariffs and barriers. Because of who bringing in tariffs and barriers? Do you know what Australia has done last week? There was some sort of a foreign relations summit they also held, where Jaishankar was also present in. And this particular discussion was about advancing India-Australia relations and taking it to the next level. So everyone else is moving. And this is literally what's the guy's name said? Sachs. Jeffrey Sachs. Because he's one of the authors of this report. the forward.
That makes sense.
The forward, it's him and a whole bunch of other guys that I don't recognize, but they, I suspect they're all economists. Sachs is very quickly. Sachs is one of the authors, and Jeffrey Sachs is an economist based on developmental aspects. So he looks at development, advancing development for a nation, specifically countries that find themselves in the developing bracket of the world. And which is very good, a very good thing that you started off on, Helmut, because all those scenarios that are happening today, dear listeners, after 14 July, remember the report came out 14 July last week.
Yeah.
And before the report, it was a whole bunch of assessments taking place. Oh, and in between, in this week, between Monday and up to now, mm-hmm. The US has withdrawn from UNESCO.
Yeah, I think I saw that.
That update.
Yeah.
The US has withdrawn from UNESCO. So, factor all those things in. Because guess what? In this lovely little forward or executive summary outlined here, is that that reviews and commitments that were made of the 193 countries. So, they explain here that 190 of the 193 UN member states have participated in a voluntary review or national review process, VNR. This is obviously to try and see how far implementation plans have gone and also how far sustainable development priorities have been done in terms of international community. The EU and the State of Palestine have also presented VNRs. State of Palestine, for 2 years they've been bombed to smithereens.
Yep.
Keep that in mind. Since 2023, 7 October 23, they've been bombed. Okay, that's one part of it. But still, yeah, they've presented even. Guess what? So the EU is already 27 countries. Most UN member states have presented two or more VNRs, and 39 countries have volunteered to present one in 2025. So this means there could be a whole set of these reviews, Helmut, meaning they could target each one of the 17 SDGs. It's not clear as yet. So only 3 UN members states have not taken part in the VNR process. Guess who? United States number 1, Haiti and Myanmar.
That's good.
Both Haiti and Myanmar are in technically civil war status.
Conflict, right?
Yeah, they've got civil war status. But for the US, this obviously spells towards the, I would call it the, what's that word? Not animosity. Yeah, it's animosity and discontent, that Donald Trump has for the UN. Well, we have to recognize apples for what apples are. In 1945, it was the Americans that established the UN. They brought the UN back to life.
Okay, so let's go back further than 1945 to the example that
League of Nations.
League of Nations, and why the Japanese withdrew.
Well, because the British, according to the document that I watched, which was a History Channel documentary, the British and the French invited an Australian Prime Minister of the time to give his insights on and deliver a speech at that. They had the same thing like the General Assembly. Everyone stand there and you make a speech. Doesn't matter from what part of the country. And this Australian guy was asked. Now, the Japanese were negotiating in the background with the other countries about, let's put in a sentence there that all humans are equal.
Yeah.
Now, you obviously cannot agree on such a term if you are England, if you are the UK and France in 1918, who both sit with colonial possessions.
Yep, that means every colony that you have of which resources you're pillaging, they are equal as you, therefore they have the right to self-determination.
They have the right to achieve independence.
Give them their country and pack your bags and
go back home. So
resourcesless.
That was problematic. And what did I explain also a little bit earlier in some of our earlier discussions on the home run was that The Americans had told the British, the French, the Spanish, the Portuguese, stay out of the Western Hemisphere, meaning stay out of the whole of the Americas through the Monroe Doctrine.
Monroe Doctrine, yeah.
Stay out of the whole of the Americas because the Americas are the playground of the US. Okay, now you sit with a problematic scenario. You've got one guy acting quasi-colonial.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the Americans.
Yeah.
Because remember, they interfered in Cuba. They interfered in Mexico. They interfered in all of South America.
Asia.
They technically...
Africa.
They technically... No, I'm still talking about just here, the Americas. Oh, yeah. They technically took Hawaii as a next... They annexed Hawaii
mm-hmm.
as a state.
After doing what's going on in Israel, as usual.
No, but they came through like false promises. No, we will protect you. There was most like, there's most Polynesian, the local indigenous population was a Polynesian population, like the Samoans, like the Maori in New Zealand.
Yeah.
And obviously there's very little presence of those guys left. That's most now the Rocks people,
mm-hmm.
you know, Dwayne Johnson. And the discussion from there has been, you know, if you look at the realm of where the U.S. wants to operate and command and have safe haven and all that, they were literally playing quasi-colonial or colonialism in their neighborhood. Look, there was a time that the U.S. was very socialist. They had large SOEs, General Electric, General Motors. There was another company. It was a massive company. But they had like...
And then profit came in.
No, Truman, after the Second World War. Truman faced a very bankrupt or on the brink of collapse because of bankruptcy government when Truman won the elections. It was just after, not Theodore Roosevelt, his son Franklin. Yeah, after Franklin passed away, because Franklin D. Roosevelt was a sickly man. He had an ailment.
Still ran for office. I don't understand politicians.
No, he was him. He and Eisenhower are most considered one of the most successful U.S. Him, Eisenhower, and his father, Franklin's father, Theodore,
mm-hmm.
are considered like supposedly one of the most successful American presidents because they had multiple, except for Eisenhower. Eisenhower just had one term. Eisenhower was a wartime president. In the 50s, but Eisenhower was also successful in terms of like.
Is there an American president who was not a wartime president though?
I'd say Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton. Even though, you know, him and Monica were best of buddies, office wise. Don't get ideas, Alvin. Don't get ideas, but enough of the American history.
Coldplay. Concert.
Oh yeah. No, but no. Remember, and I don't understand why Coldplay had to apologize.
No, they didn't. They didn't have to.
They didn't have to, but they wanted to because that guy's wife was, because it was almost not discovered, the guy's a billionaire.
And the guy's married.
Have you seen the memes about the guy?
Oh,
apparently
no.
The guy's wife, the kids are asking the wife, "Mom, why are we suddenly so rich?" "Well, your dad went to a concert."
And then the cameraman.
"Your dad went to a concert without me."
The cameraman, who I definitely didn't pay, decided, you know.
Give us the best visual evidence.
Visual view. Man, it's you can't explain your way out of that.
Is it the HR manager or is it the finance manager? The
no,
lady.
No, it's a person something something manager.
HR, then it's HR manager.
Well, we know she was managing more than
look,
HR.
Look, we're not giving any Namibian millionaires ideas to look at the HR managers, but please, just ensure that you don't go to Coldplay concerts.
Yep, at least they're not with someone that you are not supposed to go there with.
Who came
up with these kiss cam things? Because, man, it's ruining people's relationships.
It's the Americans, bro.
Mm,
they had it. They have it at their ice hockey matches and at the baseball matches. Nothing at the NFL matches and at the NBA matches. Because now if you accidentally zoom in where Jay-Z and Beyonce are sitting front row, but the camera is literally looking at Jay-Z and the guy, no, at Beyonce and the guy next to Beyonce.
Uh-oh.
Not Jay-Z on the other side of Beyonce, it becomes problematic.
Look.
SDGs, yes. Back to SDGs. Because you asked us obviously about the League of Nations reference.
Yeah.
So the realm of it's okay, the scenario that happened there with Japan.
Yeah.
Japan would have been the only non-European, non-white country that would have been a founding member
of the UN,
of the League of Nations.
If he didn't scramble.
Yeah. Even though Abyssinia was there, the country of Abyssinia, which was run by Haile Selassie, even though Haile Selassie's grandfather petitioned to be part of the Berlin Conference of 1884.
What kind of weed do they have in Ethiopia that he smoked that day?
Well, I think it was probably the coffee that they were drinking there, that side.
Yeah, must be.
Yeah, the Ethiopian coffee.
Royal stuff. And
so, and he was ignored when he wanted to attend that conference.
Now, you have to understand that, there's a reason why I told, when it comes to, to understanding politics, I think there's a very basic principle that a lot of us miss. And that's, Henry Kissinger was right. There is no such thing as friends in politics. Interest triumphs everything. And we saw, we saw the bromance of Elon Musk and, and Donald Trump, from the time that he was running for office until he won, and then they introduced Doge, and then they were running around. Now those guys, if you put them in one room, they're gonna punch the heck out of each other.
Yeah.
The question is, what changed?
Because there's a reason why I don't want to open up my X app anymore on my phone, because there's sometimes a Musk message that's pushed to everyone in the world that has an X account.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, look at this guy.
No, what did I do? So the point I'm trying to make here is that, in politics, it's, interest is everything. So, one easy example is that in the 1830s to 1870s when the British decided they were going to abolish slavery.
Mm.
And it's very easy to look at that and go like, they just did it out of the kindness of their heart. They did not decide
anything. No, but that was what all the movies and the things about.
Yeah, and that's one thing I actually don't like about that point of view. They didn't do it because they suddenly developed conscience. The American economy was a rising competitor, and they wanted to break it before it it grows to the level where it is.
Yeah.
Basically the same thing the US has been trying to do with China. There is nothing wrong with China,
yeah,
apart from China being a competitor, yeah, that they cannot contain.
Remember the book that I told you about, that was the guy that wrote the book that was interviewed by John Stewart? The guy that explained how Apple literally produced the whole Chinese tech sector alone?
Yep.
Remember that book?
Mm-hmm.
That is literally the same particular aspect you can take from what the British did to the North Atlantic slave trade.
Yeah.
Because in essence, they actually bolstered the American civil rights movement, obviously through Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln. Yeah. And Lincoln had to quash a very important aspect of the American agricultural economy, which were all the slave owners from the South.
Yep. Yeah.
Which were all the Confederate, they were the economic financiers for the whole Confederate army.
Now, go back to the League of Nations example, where Japan is proposing, let's add in a clause that says all men are created equal.
Well, that's a Christian thing, all men are equal.
Yeah, all men are.
So as to enshrine that equal rights or access to rights discussion.
That's George Carlin and who is this, Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
In the very same speech where he defines democracy as the government of the people for the people, that's where he has that whole.
Hence the reason why I am glad we use the word republic.
Thank heavens.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, all those people that were, one thing George Carlin points out that, this country, he's an American comedian.
I know.
Yeah, he's pointing out that, this country was founded by guys that said all men are created equal and then went back home to their slaves. Now, at this point, you ask yourself, so equality for you, but not everyone else.
Yeah. So definitely not everyone else.
Not everyone else. Yeah. You, yeah.
Me? Yes, the rich guy, the landowner.
Yeah. But everyone else, no. So, this is the very, that's the same problem that is, that question, or more like that proposal that the Japanese made to the League of Nations. That's still what, that's the same thing that to this day is still haunting the United Nations Security Council.
Hmm?
To this day.
I mean, it's even up to today. You remember when Russia and China and India said, let's make South Africa the honorary representative of Africa's Security Council seat.
Everyone went bananas.
And who were the other Africans that said, hell no.
No.
You're not doing that. But here's the thing, Helmut. If, like I explained to you, Egypt is an artificial economy. Why did the Egyptians have a say in terms of South Africa, being the first seat holder of the AU, not the AU, of the UN Security Council seat as an African representative? Now, do you want some other kind of African leader? I'm sorry. If there's anyone that's a politician that believes that politicians are the best case scenario for dealing with Africa's issues.
Nah.
If you want William Ruto sitting there, but you see the human rights record that his country has after the ad break. 5 seconds to go and counting.
Some things kind of have to be together, right? Imagine. Pop, but no flakes. Never. Or a goal without a celebration. And friends, but no Tassenberg?
Now that's just not right. Tassenberg. Best together. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Minutes past the hour of 5. If you just tuned in, you are listening to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. And where are we? Japanese example.
Yeah. In the Japanese example, Helmut, the discussion obviously there, as I cited, would have been that the Japanese and Abyssinians, which would have been Ethiopia, Eritrea, Somalia, and Djibouti as one country, if you look at them today. They would have been the only two independent non-white countries of the League of Nations as a founding. Now, getting back to the reforms of the UN Security Council discussion,
yeah,
which obviously meant, or that objection that was given by Egypt and Ethiopia, there was another African country that also objected. Against South Africa becoming the first sort of like seat holder of the UN Security Council. But I can't remember the third person.
With veto power.
With veto power.
That'll be very tricky.
But it's not even there yet, Hamut.
Because
we don't know if it's going to be a ceremonial seat where this African leader just sits there.
Again, Dwight.
Huh?
League of Nations.
Yeah.
The Japanese statement, all men are created equal. The Japanese could have, could have well just said, let's just create this organization in a way that will crush your economies, because that's exactly what would have happened if they signed up to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they knew that if they sign up to that, they have to, you know, they have to give all their colonies independence and self-determination. And so we're talking about, everything that you have been getting by pillaging and stealing and all kinds of illegal activities.
Mm.
Now you have to go to that country and negotiate who is in charge of that country for you to have access to that resources. And they were just not ready for that.
But here's the thing. This would have been the corresponding scenario between, you can obviously see the diversity on Africa and being in the BRICS neighborhood or in the BRICS collective. South Africa obviously sits there because of their presence and their particular capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I had to ask you, Hamoud, who else from Africa, from the other 53 countries,
mm-hmm.
who else do you think is the best case scenario to occupy a UN Security Council seat?
Namibia.
Actually, you're right. But we don't have the economic prowess.
Mm. Hey.
No, we don't.
All we just need is vote the right political party that has, processing plants in mind. Every constituency. But look. Yeah, I just had to throw that one in there.
Okay, let's get back on point. Let's get, I can't stop laughing at that particular point.
For me, I think, irrespective of what international law or what United Nations or whatever, international peacekeeping organizations charter says, it more often boiled down to interest. No one will sign an agreement that basically means them economically shooting themselves in the head. And I think global dominance has especially ever since the fall of the Soviet Union in the early 90s. The US have basically become like the big guy on the block until, you know, China started popping up left, right and center. Then we're like, oh dear, this is bad. Now there is a competitor. So, you obviously have to expect a lot of points to be pointed. And the US have been through this, through the British. They had to get their independence from the British. Remember?
Yep.
Yep. Now, the thing is, everything that's going on around us, especially in the geopolitical arena, find out who stands the most to lose if this goes through. Now, if the United Nations Security Council is expanded and everyone has veto power, that means the power that the US holds as we speak, or basically all the five UN member states, they can't just running around cowboy in the very same way that they do. That means everything must be voted on with equal rights. That will make it very difficult to go to war.
It will.
And then now you have, the thing is,
but you are still right, Helmut.
If Namibia
takes that seat,
uh-huh.
I mean,
a friend to all and an enemy to none.
Exactly. We also don't have a rampant military budget. Yes, there might be question marks about what August 26 is doing and its financing, but that comes from other politicians. I mean, if you ask the everyday Namibian on the street, do you care about August 26's actions? They'll say, who?
Who?
Which company?
What company?
Is that a company even? And then you say, yes. And then it will tell you, I thought it was a public holiday celebration. And then you go like, okay, there you go. So first and foremost, the lay person on the street would not be worried.
Wait, oh yeah, speaking of which, I think it was today when one gentleman, I think, called in from Zambezi that, asked me about Enercon. So I ended up looking it up. I basically, went a little bit down a rabbit hole. And, I just looked up Enercon Namibia and found it them listed as a subsidiary on the August 26 website.
Mm.
And then that's, that, basically points to me a lot of things that's we are going to be listening from the, you know, we are going to be hearing from this whole, you know, from this whole Namco bail hearing. And this is just the bail hearing. When we get to main trial, this kind of, you know, get lit. But well, we talked about national development plans, and now we're here with the SDG. So on page 11 of that, you know, on page 11 of that UN report of the 2025 Sustainable Development Goals report, have a very nice, depiction of how the goals are going, which ones are, you know, which ones are going, which ones are, you know, which ones are, which ones are in stagnation, which ones are, you know, which ones have, you know, are going in the reverse, and which ones are seeing some kind of progress.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, on the bright side, I don't see any goal of out of the 17 of them that's going in reverse. At least that's the bright side.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you have, you know, by far most of them are going, you know, in stagnation mode. And you only have, I think you can count them, 1, 2, 3, 4 that are in, you know, that are in moderately improving. Now, SDG achieved, not there yet. Now, SDG number 10 is even more depressing because for a document coming out of the UN and I see no data available, I'm like, okay. So, what do you mean no data available? Now, SDG number 10 is about reduced inequalities. That's the one I was looking for, because every time we talk about global inequality, Namibia and South Africa dominates the top, you know, they're in the top five. They've been for a while.
I think we're still there.
Yeah. And now, while it's no data collected.
I think we're still there. I mean, inequality, just like with the thing of malnutrition. Malnutrition doesn't go away or stay the same in 2023 or 2022. Mm-hmm. If you decide to use just 2022 statistics from somewhere, and in between the same people have now just been staying hungry.
No.
That thing does not go away. Here's a scenario, Hamoud. Once again, obviously in this SDG report, they cite that it's the European countries leading the way once again. The downside is what they technically speak of there is sort of like the overall societal, protection that have been positioned. So we're taking a look at things like encouraging girls to go to school and staying in school. We're taking a look at, access to food, things being made readily available. We're taking a look at other particular auxiliary functions being positioned, which is, mind you, one of our talks of the other day of, was it this? No, last week, the urban mobility discussion that we had.
Yeah.
The European countries have urban mobility for days. They've got local governments and local authorities that have invested in public transport for days. They're even using a technology there in Europe that is no longer even manufactured anymore. The tram.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the small car that rides on the road with
on a two track
like a train, but smaller than a train's track.
Yeah.
But that literally takes you up and down the street or up and down the CBD area. Windhoek has been in existence for how long? For 50 years. And none of the town planners between pre-independence and up to now, 2025, went and said, you know what? Whoever thought about the town planning in Windhoek was probably, firstly, that person didn't have insight or foresight or a futuristic view to say, listen, you need to be able to make people move. Not to say, we hope that you can afford a car in 2025.
If we're going to build a road, then everything is up to you, buddy.
Exactly. And you know what's another depressing thing that I just read also before we stepped into the studio? In the US, they did a survey. One specific online platform known as Fortune, not to be confused with Fortune 500 or anything to do with Forbes.
Oh, Fortune Telling.
Yeah, just Fortune is its name. Had a story or had an article about that there's a certain percentage bracket of Gen Z men who now believe that their degrees that they went to study for are useless. Because firstly, so many employers in the US have decided to drop a degree requirements or a requirement saying you must have this degree in place.
But what are they going for? Something higher or something lower?
Lower. They dropped it. Dropping means you going low.
Is that a cutting cost thing?
It could be. But then another particular sort of like analyst explained the US unemployment statistics or employment statistics or labor statistics is very weird because if you look at the tech industry in the US, they are bleeding jobs.
Oh yeah.
Ooh. I mean, what's his name? Was it Microsoft the other day? What was the number? 9,000 people that they're going to retrench from the Xbox department.
Qualified
people, skilled individuals. And we're talking about people if you're talking about a tech job in the US, mm-hmm. the minimum that you can pay that person a month, the minimum mm-hmm. is 5,000 US a month.
That explains the cutting.
What is 5,000 times 20, Helmut?
Yo.
It's 100 grand that person earns a month.
Okay. Here's the thing though. You don't see, there's one piece, you know, there's one part of AI that no one is talking about. All these qualified engineers that are getting out of work.
Mm.
What do you think they're going to do? You are looking at some of the most qualified hacking and scamming groups that are going to, you know, that are going to pop up.
Ad break.
That iconic taste of Heineken, loved in Germany, Amsterdam, Argentina, and Namibia. That crisp and balanced taste of Heineken, loved around the world. Enjoy that refreshing thirst. Only made possible by Heineken's unique 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
So, you've got everything sorted for tomorrow?
Yeah, man. Meat, spice, poikis ready. Even got some playlists lined up, bro.
And the crew? They're all coming, right?
Howie, everyone's in. It's gonna be lekker.
Wait. What about the tassies?
Bruh,
you can't get here without tassim, bruh. It's like cabana without salsa talk.
Tassenberg. Best together. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
So, where was I? The hacking groups.
Yeah.
I think we are going to see an increase in that because you are talking about, you are basically asking people to build pieces of softwares. And then you tell them, now that I have the software up and running, it was nice doing business with you. Have a good life.
Mm.
Now I can just say, use the software that you built to replace you. So, now you're going to be looking at a lot of very qualified tech experts that don't have opportunities. Well, guess what? A bunch of evil guys are going to come and start giving them opportunities to do some of the most questionable things. Like hacking into defense ministries or hacking into, finance sectors.
Mm.
Do you think they're going to say no?
No.
When it can't,
but remember, just as the US is producing that talent, so too are the Chinese and the Russians.
Yep.
So too are they doing the same thing. And some of the East and the Eastern European guys as well. But I mean, it's one of the downsides if you don't have the same particular developmental talents like we don't have.
Let's look at Libya, for example.
Mm.
Libya was under Gaddafi for a very long time. Now, after the war in 2012, Gaddafi was toppled. And then now you had a lot of guys in the country with, obviously Gaddafi's death left a power vacuum.
Mm.
Whenever there's a power vacuum, things don't really go well. because there's always a lot of fights that pops up every now and then, because all of a sudden everyone wants, you know, wants to be the, you know, the person that were, you know, the person that has to be respected. Mm. So, I think we are going to find out the hard way that, the hard way that a lot of qualified tech experts that are being put out of work are most likely going to be recruited by people with very questionable intentions when it comes to what they do. And obviously, scamming is going to go out through the window. It's going to go through the roof.
Mm.
And groups like Hunters International are just going to keep popping up. But that's just just my paranoia speaking.
And you never know apparently where they come from, just like we were told that Hunters Group from that analysis we did last year.
Yeah.
That Hunters International predominantly were remnants of the previous hacking group
that was, I think was still being tracked down by Interpol at the time.
Yeah. And that those guys predominantly were from Eastern Europe only. Now, I mentioned to you three countries that have been designated as being the most prolific in cyber activity, cybersecurity, cyber criminality. Okay, the North Koreans are also there apparently, and the Indians are also there.
Yeah.
So that makes it five countries. But these are the same five guys that would come and tell you, look, those guys are from Eastern Europe. And you're like, go look what Eastern Europe looks like.
Okay, first of all, they are not easy to find. Because that's,
Namibia has better internet than many parts in Europe, Helmut. Do you know that?
Come again.
Namibia has better internet than many parts in Europe. Do you know that we've got a better banking system than the Japanese? Do you know that?
One more time.
Okay, let me explain it to you. There's a whole bunch of YouTubers that I watch. The guys that give you in real life scenarios.
Uh-huh.
One guy said one of the reasons why you should not come to Japan or try work in Japan, because I've known a lot of people that work there and obviously people that I also see there. And though he explained, Japan's banking system is like that. You walk around with a little, it looks like a little checkbook, but it's smaller than a checkbook. It's a little book. And you've got two cards. One is a card that you put in your ATM to check your bank balance. Uh-huh. And the other one is a card to put in your ATM to withdraw money.
That's a lot of cards.
And then the Japanese don't have this, apparently they don't have this lovely new simplified way of just go and tap and pay or swipe and pay or put your card into the machine.
Don't they have
and
like smartphone versions of that?
They also don't have banking apps.
Okay, but that's on purpose, right?
To stop you from sending money from out of the country.
So the more money circulate into the country,
the more the money stays in the country,
the more it builds up the economy.
Yeah.
Well, I
don't know how that reinforces the currency strength. I mean, if you're a country that exports a lot,
mm-hmm.
like Japan. Japan has a strong exporting base to work from.
So I'm right every time I say that, if you're going to steal money, at least, create employment in your own country. Because if you ship
then the police know where you are.
Hmm?
Hello, Helmut. Then the police know where you are.
Well, at least you have an excuse. You'll be there in front of the judge. My lord, at least
I've got employment. Employment is here. What? Your five farm workers and your three domestic workers. What are you talking about?
They all have rupa, my lord.
Look at them. Two of them have bicycles, One is not yet married.
Did I steal the money? Yes. You're cooked.
No, you shouldn't. You shouldn't.
You really cooked.
You shouldn't acknowledge as straightforward as that, Helmut. You should at least say, well, somehow, we stumbled upon it.
It can be argued that way.
And then they say, this is not a Treasure Island novel, Dwight. This is not Robert Louis Stevenson. You don't stumble upon a place that says X here and a sign that says down below that X is some bucks. Some unallocated funding.
Nah, that's not gonna end well.
No, it's not. It's not.
So back to the SDGs. So, bright side, stagnation is what we are dealing with, and slow progress. We are not in green as to we have achieved some of them. Plus, they are running concurrently with our NDP, They all have, they're all due more like, or everything that we have planned to sort of like accomplish, we have, you know, we have until 2030 to get it done. Now, one of the questions that was asked in the press conference was how much is that enough time to get all the STDs? To get all the STDs.
You were so close to the other word.
STD. We must all make sure we have STD by 2030. SDG. stick to condoms. You know, I mean, you know, stick to condoms. I meant SDG, not STD.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm really sorry. But sometimes, you know, when we stay focused, I now have to be like an unofficial spokesperson of Almut. We stay focused because it just happened to be a little bit earlier in the sentence, in the program.
Yeah.
You know, confusing Jeffrey Sachs's name with another one. Yeah. Don't worry, guys. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry.
We need therapy, dude.
Yeah. It is expensive. Remember, there are only two psychiatric wards in Namibia. So you can't be deemed as publicly insane because then you'll be sent to a ward that might just be, you know, overpopulated.
It'll be very difficult to convince them that you are not nuts because.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. So, yeah, I found our particular proof, about the League of Nations thing, even though it's a different piece of proof. So, yeah. You were still saying the SDG discussion, Helmut.
We have up to 2030 to make sure that we have, you know, we have everything in order.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay. We recently launched our NDP6.
Which is also running until 2030.
Yeah, which is like 7 days after the launch of that report, the SDG report.
Yeah.
Here is something unique, Helmut. I'm still trying to understand the discussion on financing for development or sustainable financing for development. I know it's a talking point we did not do. But Gutierrez goes at in his press conference, he goes and emphasizes greatly on financing, sustainable financing for development.
Financing by who?
Exactly. Because there's only two particular institutions, and those institutions draw from where? American and European banks.
Yep.
Pretty simplistic, dear listeners. If we bring this down to a Namibian level in terms of the recent discussions that I interviewed for the early morning scoop for, where are we? We're on Thursday.
Yeah.
Yesterday's session of the early morning scoop. Wednesday session. And I interviewed two particular economists on Tuesday for yesterday's show. One obviously comes from an investment house, so he has to speak from a perspective of obviously looking at an analytical scenario for investor purposes. Outlook. And the other economist obviously speaks from a civil society perspective. And they both outlined similarities in terms of so far what the level of optimism is surrounding NDP6. So the explainer was, even though the SDG report speaks about something more historic prior to the launch of NDP6, both of those two economists cited specifically the past 100 days of President Nandi Ndaitwa in office, meaning that it seems what we was the optics for us now, the rest of Namibia, is it seems that the message is being communicated to the whole, every level of the country, every level, every strato, every stratosphere of the country. We have to face the same direction. Let's be forward thinking. Let's try and achieve 2030. Now, 2030, remember, is a policy document, an overarching policy document its own.
Yeah.
Which is the feeding document for the establishment of the national development plans. So that means our NDPs are older than the SDGs, and the SDGs try to achieve the same goal that we have to achieve by 2030 as well as Namibia, but Namibia also is party to the SDGs, and we have to achieve the same thing. However.
They do share a lot of similarities.
They do, even in color schemes.
Yeah.
Even in color schemes.
If you look at the...
And even in typeface. Okay, not in typeface.
Look at the cover of the documents. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, there's similarities.
I mean, I've heard of copying before, but anyway.
However, Helmut, here's where things get tricky. And this is where we come... What was that one guy's name that I looked at, a lawyer on the internet? He says, the objective reality.
The facts on the table.
The facts on the table. They are not biased to anything. It's not induced from a human emotional landscape. It's, do you see blue? Yes or no? Yes, I see blue. Or no, I don't see blue. That's it. What has been the reality that you have and I have been citing with all those standing committees, those oversight committees from the National Assembly and National Council? It has been, because in the NDP, in our side, one of it is mentioning the importance of agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
However, remember back to the Nkurunkuru, the agro-processing report.
Yep.
Where we are sitting, we've got intentional, purpose-built, purpose-invested for projects. But it seems like...
They're laying dormant.
The easiest thing, which is appointing people to run the project and connecting the project to a market, has not taken place.
Nope.
It hasn't taken place. The youth projects that you and I were once again citing on Tuesday, or I think on Monday. Same thing. The youth projects. They had wonderful ideas.
On paper.
But executing the thing on the ground.
Was a catastrophe.
And one of the economists cited that as well. For this NDP6 analysis of yesterday's EMS.
Yeah.
One of them cited that as well. We don't need to plan more. Stop
we have
planning.
Planned enough. Let's just go in execution.
All that we need is literally what this SDG report also says. Give feedback, you know, phase by phase feedback. Ad break.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot the quote, grab a Windhoek Beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the only person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Ipuranenge no wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwala onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa Nuneudo, otukwetira o special ange, tashake ngejefa omarude dayo loka, opone ujendi fenawa, nokumona oijamwiri nawa, ninge pata fanona, wanika ko Eagle FM, onora itatu imwe, bali heali, nola natu, heali bali no heali, ileko berewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu matatu, omafelane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Welcome back. It's 12 minutes to the hour of 6. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, and this is your favorite radio station, Eagle FM. We're talking about sustainable development goals, and one thing now I can't help is look at when the SDGs were agreed on and everyone signed and said, hooray, you know, we are going to end, you know, let's make sure to end hunger, to end poverty, end hunger, you know, make sure that by 2030, there's no poverty, there's no hunger, everyone is in good health, quality education check. Peace, justice, and strong industries now. I think this one is going in reverse. That raises a lot of questions. If it, it took us from 2015 to now, if you just compare the progress that we have made or haven't in case of some SDGs to the time that is left, you can't help but look at this whole thing and go like, yeah, we're not going to make it.
Well, there was one resounding feature that was, or fact rather, that was cited by Guterres.
Mm-hmm.
The flaring up of conflicts.
Yeah.
It seems that the conflicts are becoming more, or they're becoming more protracted, meaning longer.
Mm-hmm.
And how much you see the amount of mis and disinformation on the internet regarding the Ukraine conflict. There's a lot of it.
You know one thing I've come to learn when it comes to this conflict?
Yeah.
Give someone enough money, they will say a lot of garbage not even they believe.
No, it's not just about giving money.
Mm-hmm.
For example, there's a whole bunch of YouTubers, African YouTubers, that try to get into this YouTubing space, podcasting space. Then you should see the level of, media.
Garbage.
No. What's the word, man? Their understanding of the context, the media discussions. Just like when the Gaza conflict broke out in 7 October,
mm-hmm.
how many of the global social media just started from 7 October.
Yeah.
That's literally how many of these guys on the internet.
February 24.
Yep. Or they go say something else just to exacerbate or get as, you know, for clickbaiting references. If people don't know what clickbaiting is, you put a sensationalist thumbnail.
Picture or some and something. Headlines or something.
And then just for the person to click on the thing. And then when you click on the thing, it's a cat, you know, a cat busy trying to, a cat trying to catch a butterfly. And you're like, now where is the actual thing?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of that also. However, we left it off at a particular talking point, like you said.
Do we have, at that, the progress we have made from 2015 to today.
Yeah.
They have, and you look at the time that's left, that's just from 2025,
yeah.
2030. That's 5 years?
Yeah, 5 years in the next science scenario.
Mm.
We still ended also on the sustainable financing discussion. The downside, Helmut, is a country like Haiti. Even today, I watched a report from Al Jazeera about Haiti. Sometimes I wonder what we journalists are doing. If you, a journalist, went to Haiti last year to record something in Haiti,
mm-hmm.
and this year, Dwight is going to Haiti to record something in Haiti. But in both reports, the status is still the same. The country is
still in despair.
It's still in disarray. It's still in despair. There's a power vacuum, political power vacuum.
Yep.
There's a legislative power vacuum. There is a judicial power vacuum. The police are too afraid to do anything. And when Kenya volunteered to send police, those same Haitians said, hey, listen, if those Kenyans drive around in the streets, they are, you know, it's hunting season. It's open season on them. So.
They're fair game.
So. You are sitting with a lawless country. Haiti is a lawless country. But where did this all start from?
Yeah, when you start from that question of where did this all start from? Then a bunch of banks are going to pop up a lot.
The American government is going to pop up.
Is going to pop up.
The French government is going to pop up.
You see, this is why I totally agree with when it comes to geopolitics. I totally agree with the analysis that when it comes to geopolitics, is might is right. Yeah.
You see, Hamoud, I'm afraid of such particular statements.
Look, I say that because, every time there's economic chaos and you find out where it originated, it's coming out of developed countries. Mm. But for some reason, countries like Namibia are now facing, are we still on the gray list?
Yeah. South Africa last year, or at the start of this year, they fell into that zone.
Look, man, it's not rocket science. But
we had to sort out legislation.
We had to sort out legislation. Yeah. The point I'm trying to make is the biggest money launderers are the very same guy that occupied the United Nations Security Council.
Exactly. But every year when Namibia has an election.
I'm not saying let's launder money. I'm just saying I don't like the application of the law.
Which is another interesting thing that if you've not noticed it before, every time when Namibia has presidential elections, then all the other parties start throwing each other with mud about where do you get your financing and where do you get your financing.
Yeah, that happens.
And then since AI has now popped up, now you start getting digitally altered documents and weird documents floating around in the public space, which literally is ultimately, which also has to show many people that how dangerous the politics game also becomes.
Yeah.
Namibia, Helmut, we have a very fragile society, meaning it's very small. Even though we have probably, I would be thumb sucking the statement. But I would assume we've got very small gun ownership discussion, in that scenario. But it does not mean that Namibia does not have a violent society.
Yeah.
It does not somehow stop a person from committing a violent crime like murder, rape, or,
burglary.
Burglary. Yeah. Okay. Let's say aggravated assault, like beating up people, stuff like that.
Yeah.
It would not. That there is no linkage in that scenario that I can even try to think up or even reference. However, since we as Namibia, we do know what internal conflict has been for the past 100 years before 1990. We know what armed struggle is. We know what it is. So the discussion from there is, we Namibians, we know that conflict is not the way to go. Yet, in our political space, we've got political actors that would use rhetoric that literally is on the cusp of incitement, on the cusp of drumming up some sort of ethnic hatred in some cases, on the cusp of trying to generate aspects of internal strife. And basically, it is almost like there is no governance for the political parties in terms of how they act or, you know, how they behave themselves in terms of conduct and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Case in point that you and I can reference was that reference that you used of the guy that the whole Namibia knew about it, rushed with his bucky into a bunch of political party supporters. That is political violence. If people want examples, that is political violence. And that is worse than a Liverpool Man United argument. I'm sorry. And I don't think anything of a Liverpool Man United argument because I was an athlete. I know what sports competition is. The athletes are there. All they think about is performing for their team.
That's all.
That's it.
And you have supporters out here trying to.
The supporters are trying to beat each other up. Why? For what reason? And then the athletes will even ask you, you guys were fighting because of me? Why? So, to get to that, to the grand point that you made a little bit earlier, yes, we as Namibia, we probably would be the best template for occupying that Security Council seat. However, we would be the most influenced because our biggest development partners, one of them sits on the Security Council.
And we trade with her.
The other one is literally the whole reason why the world established the UN and the League of Nations.
Oh dear.
the other developmental partner is literally the reason why the League of Nations and the UN was established.
When it comes to financing, that's the reason, you know, that's why I agree with the point, you know, you made, you know, citing the economists you spoke to yesterday. We have planned enough. Can we just work on executing the plans we have made? And then when you know, they're all out of the way, at least, you know, 50 to 60% of them,
yeah,
then we start making plans again, because boy, can we plan.
No, we're good. As Namibians, we're good.
And actually, as a continent. And giving our plans.
I'm speaking nationalism here. We, Namibians, we are good. We are really
good. So you're just going to pretend like silencing the gun was not a thing.
But silencing the guns was not our issue.
It was an AU thing.
Yeah, it's an AU thing, but it's not a Namibia thing.
Well,
I mean, our president at that time,
yeah,
she was international relations minister.
Yeah.
And at that time, when you go and sit up, think about it, because I remember I had to interview in 2020 when I started the Eagle of M. I had to interview her about silencing of the guns because at the end of 2021, what was his name? The Minister of Home Affairs at that stage, he moved from fisheries to the former Minister of Home Affairs, but he moved from fisheries to the,
Kawana,
yes. Was it him or was it his predecessor? But anyway,
ad break.
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original or Vintook Lemon, let's cheers to connecting, to moments shared and good vibes anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for...
Welcome back. It's a minute past the hour of six, former Home Affairs Minister. Yeah.
So when they started with that amnesty program that always runs here between October and September, it's affiliated to the silencing of the guns. Amnesty for gun violence or owning a gun. And then whoever sits with an unlicensed gun in Namibia has sort of like an amnesty period of submitting a firearm, which they were not supposed to own. Now, at that stage, if you were a very, if you just thought, not, I don't want to say if you were very clever, because you would have been clever in other nefarious means.
Yeah.
If you were just thinking a little bit longer, you would have gone like, but if you were a, someone that went and committed a crime with a firearm, would that not literally be you being able to be traced? Yes, it would be. Because the police would still take your details for, where did you get this gun? Did you use it in any other prior incidences before handing it in today?
Mm-hmm.
And what were those incidents?
Oh dear.
And I remember back then because...
considering what a gun is used for.
Because,
can't be good.
Because Calvin was still here with us. And I was in the same press conference when the minister cited, Minister Kawana mentioned that amnesty It was 2021. Yeah, it was 2021. And then Calvin kept asking him, so what happens then in the scenario that if the gun was traced to a crime, yeah, would you still lock the person up? And the minister kept reiterating, listen, the amnesty period is for you handing in. It is not disqualifying you from a crime you committed.
In other words, we'll so be like, even thank you if for bringing the gun back.
So even if a gun, if the gun is handed in, and they check the ballistic, they do ballistic testing on the gun,
yeah,
and they find that the gun was potentially used in a crime,
yeah,
you would still be locked up.
Yeah, it was used. I mean, that's not
the crime already took place.
Yeah.
So that means that the crime, the case had not been closed. The crime is still active.
Off to the stand you go. Testify.
So, it's the same particular exercise. However, Namibia, we ran a very, I would say that in terms of communication, Namibia is good in terms of staying in touch with its populace, with its population, you know, us, the ordinary plebs on the ground.
You didn't have to call it. Call us plebs.
Because plebs or plebeians are ordinary citizens.
Yeah.
Ordinary people. We know,
we want to be patricians.
We were not like the Romans where the true citizens were the legionnaires in the army who followed their most trusted and faithful general.
Yeah,
That general is the only political player in the Roman Empire. Meaning, that's the only person that can become emperor.
So that means if you can just show that you can die for the guy, he may start paying you.
No, but you already paid. They were the only people that were salaried in the Roman Empire, the legionaries, Roman soldiers.
Yeah.
They were the only professionals.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else was, from day to day hustling. Even the nobility was day to day hustling. Even the traders was day-to-day hustling. Even the farmers back then was day-to-day hustling.
Survival mode.
The only true professionals was the Roman legionnaire and
so,
the general.
I can imagine that made it very easy for everyone to go, well, I'm joining the army.
Well, it was the most lucrative place to be,
Yep.
However, it was probably the occupation with the shortest, what do they call that thing, with the highest mortality rate.
Yeah,
it's like being in the British.
Should I live in poverty or should I sign up and go to places I don't even know? Buy a walkie, by the way.
Yeah.
And
with sandals, ne? I'm sorry, guys. You know, that's why I love history, you know.
Being born in the 21st century was a...
It's the best thing you could ever...
It's the best thing that ever happened. And actually, the 20th century for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. But still, it's the best.
Nah, there's no century like now. I'm sorry.
Okay, look, the whole idea of, you know what, let's go to Rundu. And then we plan, you know what, we're going to walk, at least 10 kilometers and then set up camp and then sleep. And then we'll continue the next day. And, from the look of things, I'm thinking by, in a week or two, we're going to be in Rundu. What? Today you just hop in a car, like, you know, by this hour, we must be getting there. And for some reason, we still complain. But, I mean, that took very long. Our ancestors said it. Really.
Imagine
tough.
Walking.
Yeah.
From here to Rundu.
I don't want to walk from here to Komasdal. Forget to Komasdal. Actually, I do walk from here to town for the heck of it. 6 minutes past the hour of six. That brings us to the end of Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. And the question I basically have at the back of my head, as we conclude, is looking at where we came from with this SDG and basically the performance that we have, the progress that we have made since 2015. And if we can just use that performance that we have made since 2015, and then we look at the time that's left before the deadline that we have set for ourselves, as to the time that we should accomplish all the 17 goals. Is that feasible?
Currently, right now, I agree with Guterres.
Yeah.
It'll be super slow.
Yeah.
And since Trump now, because the actual withdrawal of the US from the UN is going to happen most at the end of this year.
Yeah.
So it's going to be super slow.
It's going to be super slow. So until tomorrow, same time, same place on Eagle FM from me, you all have a blessed evening. And please do stay tuned for a business and economic segment.
To all Eagle FM listeners, do you want to stand a chance to win a voucher of $500 Namibian weekly? Answer this easy question. Please tell us, what are the three colors of the USAVE logo? Please SMS your answer to 081-200-4144 and tune in every Friday between 1:45 and 2:00 to find out if you are the lucky winner. The winner will be announced every Friday live on air between 1:45 and 2:00. Participate weekly to improve your chance. We'll save at USAVE.
If you are set to save, USAVE is the shop to be at this month's end. When last did you only pay $92.99 for 5 kilos of Best Choice White Sugar, or $29.99 for White Star Instant Maize Porridge, and just $18.99 for 125 grams of Kloof Coffee? USAVE, your low-budget grocery store where good food costs less.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday.
Every year, someone turns 18 years old. For all Namibian citizens who have just turned 18 years, now is your time to begin your voting journey. Just take the first and most important step to register as a voter. The supplementary registration of voters will take place from the 4th until the 19th of August 2025. This voter registration process will allow you to vote in the 2025 regional councils and local authority elections. Get involved. Step up for your right. Register to vote.